This morning's reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." This ends the reading from the Gospel of Luke, the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. We have moved now into the word section of our worship. Just remember from last Sunday's sermon, if you were here for that, we have had our gathering time where we have made pilgrimage from our lives in the everyday world into the temple, which is not just this building, but is the assembly of God's people. That's the temple, God dwelling among us. And so in our gathering and our acts of praise and worship, turning our attention to God and to God's presence, now we have come to the Word, sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to what he would have to say. And then we will have our response to the Word, which today, as the first Sunday of every month, we have the table. We gather around the table with Jesus and his people. And then in other Sundays, when we don't gather at the table, our response is just with prayer and with song. There's usually a song of response to the Word, to what God has revealed about himself in the Word. And then we will, after the response to the word, we will be sent forth into the world to love, and we will be commissioned to serve and to love and to live the gospel and to begin again the pilgrimage through the world back to this gathering next Sunday. So just a reminder, that's from last Sunday's sermon, and that's where we are right now. We are sitting at Jesus' feet. We have heard the word, the ancient documents that are living come to life, and now we'll hear some teaching on that. And we're focusing on the table, on this table aspect that we do at least once a month. Together. It has been the centerpiece of the church's worship, the word and the table, for the history of the church, pretty much. And the scripture today was Jesus sort of instituting that, what we call the Last Supper, the first Holy Communion. And I want to talk about that in terms of mystery. Because in a little bit, when we say the liturgy together, we say this holy mystery, this that we proclaim together, the mystery of faith, which is the title of the sermon, the mystery of faith. And I think mystery is a word that we are comfortable with when it comes to movies, to books, that sort of thing, mysteries that we can control. We may not control the outcome of those books or those movies or whatever, but we can at least turn them on and turn them off, you know, start them and stop them as we want. But there are bigger mysteries, real living mysteries, that we tend to shrink from. And so I want to invite you to mystery in your life, just practically speaking. When was the last time you went exploring? You had an adventure. Maybe this summer you were in a strange town and you went walking around the town or countryside or mountains or beach or something like that. But it was new to you. It was brought out a little bit of that natural explorer in you, that adventurer in you. Can you look at some of life's challenges? I know a lot of life's challenges we don't care to look at this way, but some of life's challenges can we look at as an adventure? We don't know how it's going to turn out. We have to work and maybe even struggle a little bit through this, But it is this grand adventure that maybe we have a few people in our life that are on this adventure with us, that are closest to us. Certainly the church, we're in this together, and God is with us. But God, of course, is the sublime, transcendent mystery. And I think as a culture, as we become less and less comfortable with mystery, think about it. If you're like me, I tend to pull out my phone when I don't know something. I try sometimes when I think about it to give it a moment when I can't think of what actor was in that movie or who wrote that book or that song or some particular piece of trivia or fact or whatever. I try to give it a moment when it's something that I think I should know to try to remember rather than just go to my phone. But as a culture, more and more often, more and more increasingly, we are less comfortable with not knowing, not having instant answers. And we tend to settle for very superficial answers. We look at our phones or computers or whatever and just get the facts, and then we move on. We don't get any deeper, which we can see in lots of aspects of our culture, of our media, of our politics. We don't explore more deeply. We don't get to know the people behind these things. We don't get to know the reasons and the history behind these things that led up to this way of thinking or being. We just sort of classify things and move on, for or against, good or bad. And so it's no wonder that we are a culture that is less and less interested in God. Because God requires a certain level of comfort with mystery. You're going to get to a point where you don't really understand. You just have to, as we say, take some things on faith. It doesn't mean God is opposed to exploration, to learning, to plumbing these mysteries and trying to figure these things out and stuff. No, I think God invites that, God welcomes that. But we're never going to reach a limit because there is no limit with God. And so we are invited to be part of this mystery. And we can choose to enter into God's presence every week together, every day, in prayer and scripture study and walking out into the world, watching for God, having a living, dynamic relationship with God. Or not. We can go with our culture and say, that's just too much. I'm just not interested. I can't really figure that out. And so it seems overly simplistic that these people have their sort of pat answers, and so I'm just going to go it alone. And it's like I went to the beach this summer with my family, and I, you know, gaze in awe and wonder at the Pacific Ocean, its vastness, its power. But I mean, what if I looked at it and thought, well, I can't fit that in my bathtub, so I'm done. You know? I can't figure that all out and contain all that power and wonder or whatever in this enclosed environment where I can control it, turn it on, turn it off, drain it. So I don't have any use for that. That's the choice that many are making. I don't like not knowing, not controlling. So I'm just going to stick with the things that I can know, the things that I can control. But we come together every week around a mystery. We live into this mystery. We have to trust the leading of this God who works from within us, who is at work seemingly invisibly throughout the world, like the wind moving the leaves. We don't see the wind, but we see the effects of the wind in our lives and in this world and beyond, behind it all. And every month we come together and we proclaim together this mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And that's not all of the mystery of faith, but I think that's enough for a while. So I want to look at that real quickly. Christ has died. Let's look at that first part. Jesus is, as Don said, sitting at the Passover table with his apprentices, his students. He's the teacher, the rabbi. And he is sitting at the Passover table, and they are remembering God's deliverance from the bondage of slavery in Egypt, right? Remember this story? And they came to understand that they needed to sacrifice the Passover lamb and mark their doorposts with the blood, and the spirit of death would pass over because of the mark of faithfulness as it went about, you know, killing the firstborn of Egypt. It's a mystery. We don't understand that right there. It's all founded in this mystery. But the point of it is not figuring out those details. The point of it is God was faithful to deliver his people from their bondage of slavery into a new life as his people, as God's people. That's the story. And so, as Jesus sits at the table remembering and representing these things, this story of God's deliverance from the bondage of slavery to new life as God's people, the promised land, he is instituting a new covenant with them. And so saying, don't just do this in remembrance of what God has done in the past, that deliverance and that people, but this is the new covenant in my blood, my body given for you and for the world, my blood shed for you and for the world to deliver you from your bondage to sin, your slavery to sin, and to lead you into a new life, a new promised land called the kingdom of God as my people, as God's people, which came to be called the church, Christians. And so the next day they would watch this perfect, spotless lamb on doorposts of a fashion across with his blood, dying, taking the sin, the bondage of the world upon himself, that we might be set free into a new life as God's people. Christ has died. It's part of the mystery of faith. And so when we come at the first Sunday of every month, and we have on the altar table, this is not an altar, this is an altar table, or when you come into other churches, sometimes it's more table looking. But it's not an altar because we don't actually re-sacrifice Jesus or any kind of animal. It's not an actual altar. It's an altar table where we represent Christ's sacrificed body and blood. But that's what we are remembering. Christ has died. But we know the story doesn't end there, right? The mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. And so we go from Egypt and slavery and bondage. We go from Jerusalem and the Passover supper and the mountain of Calvary and the Lamb on the cross shedding his blood, we go to the Emmaus Road. Remember this story? This is just a couple chapters later in Luke from what our reading was today. The Emmaus Road, where a couple of Jesus' followers, Cleopas and his companion, possibly his wife or a friend, followers of Jesus, they are making the walk from Jerusalem to their home in Emmaus after Jesus has died on Easter Sunday, but they don't know about this. They've maybe heard some reports, but they're walking home confused, sorrowful. Jesus comes alongside them. He is the resurrected Jesus, and so because somehow in his resurrected body he is unrecognized, there's a mystery. But again, not really the point, but just another component of the mysterious story. His body is repeatedly unrecognized until often some word, speaking Mary Magdalene's name, or some action with the Emmaus travelers. Jesus sidles up next to him. What are you talking about, friends? And so they explain to him, are you the only one who hasn't heard? We had this teacher. He was mighty in his teaching and in his ministry, his deeds of power and miracles. And we thought he would be the one to deliver us, to save us. But then he was killed. He was executed. And there have been some reports that he has been raised. But we are confused. We are sorrowful. And so Jesus begins explaining the scriptures to them, walks with them. You know this story. He acts like he's going to move on to the next town, but it's late, so they invite him to come into their home. And it is at the table, in the breaking of bread, that their eyes are opened to who this really is. They recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. And so it is for us, as we come to Jesus in our sorrow, in our confusion of life in this world, whether it's the vastness of the Pacific Ocean or the mountains or whatever, mysteries like that, or the everyday mystery of our lives. How is this all going to come out? How am I ever going to get through this? How will things ever work out for this situation, for my life in general, for my family, my loved ones, for the world? How can things ever work out? It's all mystery. Jesus meets us because he is risen in the midst of our confusion and sorrow. He's not waiting for it all to be over with before he steps in. It's not Christ has died, Christ will come again, right? We don't jump from one to the other. There's that middle part. Christ has died, Christ is risen. And because he is risen, he meets us at the table. He meets us on the road, right? Just as you can go to Egypt, you can go to Jerusalem, some of you have, you can go, you can see these roads, like the Emmaus Road, where people today are walking. You can see the road that you live on. Jesus walks the roads of our town. And he reveals himself to us in the ordinariness of table and bread and wine. Remember how everyday these things were. It's the dinner table with this Emmaus pair where Jesus is sitting. We think of bread and wine in terms of the Eucharist, of Holy Communion, of Passover, of this sort of thing. But understand, bread and wine is just ordinary, everyday food. It still is, but especially for these folks. Because Christ is risen, he meets us. in our ordinary, everyday lives. Revealing himself in ordinary ways, like walking down the road and in the breaking of bread. Especially as we come together every week, every month, for the breaking of the bread of the Word, the breaking of the communion bread. And third, Christ will come again. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Jesus is pointing to the new heavens and the new earth. As we gather around this table, we talk about feasting at his heavenly banquet. We will all feast together at Christ's heavenly banquet. And understand, it's not in some cloud town where we are ghostly and have wings or something, whatever you've seen in your favorite Bugs Bunny cartoon or whatever. The end of all things is the coming together of heaven and earth, somehow remade. Just as Jesus' body is unrecognizable to his followers, his resurrected body, so the new earth will look very different from how it looks now, but will still be a new earth, not some other planet, not some spirit world or cloud city. The end of all things, from Isaiah, hundreds of years before, to Jesus' teaching, to Paul and John in Revelation, and the history of the church, except for a few within the last 100, 150 years who have just kind of gotten things way out of whack. The end of all things is heaven and earth being joined together as the new Jerusalem, the holy city, comes down out of heaven. And this is the joining of heaven and earth, like a bride and a bridegroom. This is all Revelation. Like a bride and bridegroom are joined together, heaven and earth are meant to be joined together, and we will live forever in resurrected bodies in the new heavens and the new earth. And so, when we come together at this table, as we live the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Not to destroy everything and take us away to some spirit world. Christ will come again to establish his kingdom forever and to reign with us. That's the story in those Bibles. So our gathering around this table is a subversive act declaring that we believe the true King of heaven and earth is now reigning. And he will one day come again to firmly and fully establish his reign. But in the meantime, our gathering at the table is simultaneously a participation and an anticipation of that, as the kingdom is already and not yet fully realized. Christ will come again. And so we live into that. And so it all comes together at the table. The past, Christ has died. The present, Christ is risen. And the future, Christ will come again. All of that comes together at the table. And that's the miracle. That's the mystery. Is that Holy Communion is a, not the, but a very important doorway into the mystery of God. All of these stories are coming together and being told in this very ordinary thing of gathering with, no offense, but very ordinary people in an ordinary place, set apart for this gathering. That's what makes it extraordinary. At a table with everyday bread and unfermented wine. Yet it's the mystery of faith. Reliving somehow Christ's death, Christ's resurrection, Christ's return. I was talking a few days ago with a friend who said that home for her was the chaos of her everyday life, that she felt at home with her husband and their kids being busy, the busyness of everyday life, just all going their separate ways and having their activities and stuff. She likes that. That feels like home. But she also mentioned, and when we're gathered around the dinner table. And so I sort of answered back and said, it sounds like the dinner table is sort of an anchor for your lives amidst all the chaos and the busyness or whatever. And so I offer that image for our worship together every week and our gathering around the table every month, that this is an anchor, a safe, solid place. Not just this room, but this gathering and this table and the body and the blood of the one who, just as he said to them 2,000 years ago, he says to you right now, I have eagerly awaited the opportunity to share this meal with you. I am eager to be with you. That's what holds this all together. Jesus' eagerness to be with all of his people, including you. Let's pray. Loving Lord, we do come to gather around this table to live into the mystery of faith, your death, your resurrection, your reign and return. Help us to let all of that mystery have its way with us, meaning let you have your way with us, that we are in your death set free from our bondage to sin, that we are in your resurrection set free from death, and that in the reality and anticipation of your reign and your return, we are set free from the powers of this world, no matter how elusive or attractive they may be to us. You rule and reign over it all. And so may we be anchored to that truth, that mystery. Even if we can't figure it out, may we not be adrift in confusion and sorrow and temptation, but may we regularly, every moment of every day, find ourselves together at home with you, anchored around your table. In your name, amen.